this is your Polycast for Tuesday, March 31st, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, more layoffs on the Iron Range, and the outbreak of avian flu spreads among the state's turkey producers. U.S. Steel plans to close part of its Minntac plant in northeastern Minnesota, resulting in layoffs for about 680 workers. It's the latest symptom of the downturn in the American steel and iron mining industry. U.S. Steel cites high steel imports, dumping, and low steel prices. A U.S. Steel spokeswoman says the layoffs are temporary, but the company can't speculate about how long they'll last. The plant is located in Mountain Iron, about 200 miles north of Minneapolis. Earlier this month, U.S. Steel said it would idle its Keetac plant in Keewatin effective May 13th, resulting in 412 workers laid off. And Magnetation announced in February that it is shutting down its Keewatin plant, which will result in about 20 job losses. Meanwhile, after 9 years of fits and starts, financing and construction delays, an India-based company is nearing completion of a nearly $2 billion taconite operation on the Iron Range. Normally, that would be cause for huge celebration, but while range leaders are happy about the jobs and investment, enthusiasm has been dampened by the down market and lowered expectations. Dan Crocker has more.
When SR Steel first announced its project back in 2006, DFL State Representative Tom Ansels recalls people on the Iron Range were ecstatic.
This was an extraordinary company with an extraordinary idea.
Ansels worked at Butler Taconite outside the tiny town of Nashwauk before it shut down in 1985, leaving behind the richest ore body on the Iron Range. Then SR arrived, proposing not only to build a modern mine and taconite pellet plant at the site, but also a steel mill, something range leaders had sought for decades. Now, 9 long years later, the project is nearing completion. 300 construction workers are erecting several huge steel buildings at what will be the Iron Range's first new taconite operation in 40 years.
Every week or every couple of weeks when I come here, there's always something more which is happening, so it's exciting to see the progress.
Madhu Vupaluri is CEO for SR Steel Minnesota. He says SR will be one of the cleanest, most efficient, and lowest cost operations in North America. He ticks off the benefits to the Iron Range in the state. A peak of 800 construction workers this summer, 350 full-time jobs averaging $85,000 a year, tens of millions of dollars in tax revenue. But the project won't include that long-sought steel plant. SR struggled to raise the $1.9 billion it needed just for the mine and taconite pellet plant. And now steel demand in the U.S. is slumping.
So bringing up a steel plant is, unfortunately, timing-wise, wouldn't have been feasible.
And that has left Iron Range legislators like Ansels feeling burned. He says there have been problems with payments to contractors.
There have been virtual shutdowns of the project. And now we're confronted with a global iron and steel economy where it does not appear to me, at least, that additional pellet production is warranted in the domestic or global market.
An oversupply of iron ore and steel has led U.S. Steel to announce the layoffs of about 400 workers at nearby Keewatin Taconite. A company called Magnetation is closing an iron ore plant, also in Keewatin, that employs 50 people. Vupaluri calls those layoffs unfortunate, but says he's not concerned for SR.
We are in it for long haul, and therefore looking at blips like this should not be the basis on which you should approach a project of this magnitude. This is going to be here for next 70 to 80 years.
While economic growth has slowed in countries like China, Vupaluri says SR is banking on a growing appetite for steel in North America to replace aging airports, bridges, and other infrastructure.
Several such projects are likely to be done in the United States and Canada, and therefore the steel demand in general will be reasonably safe.
At least in the long term. Right now there's a glut of steel on the market, plus demand is way down. But College of St. Scholastica economist Tony Barrett agrees that should change.
I have no question in my mind that the steel capacity in the United States, once the business cycle continues and once we get going on this infrastructure, we need the steel capacity that we have.
Which is exactly what SR and Iron Range towns like Nashwauk are hoping for. Mayor Ben DiNucci says the jobs at SR are huge for the region.
There are contracted workers working there that I know, that I've gone to high school with, that I'm on the fire department with, that I play softball with in the summertime. So those jobs are great. They're important. It keeps those folks working locally.
SR plans to start mining ore this summer and to produce its first taconite pellets early next year. Mayor DiNucci believes the mine will be worth the 9-year wait. He says it will mean the difference between his town surviving and thriving. Dan Crocker, Minnesota Public Radio News, Nashwauk.
Minnesota turkey producers are on edge as the number of farms infected with a deadly avian influenza virus expands. Three farms have now been hit with nearly 150,000 turkeys either killed by the disease or killed as a precaution. It's still a mystery how the virus got to the farms, and health officials say the exact path may never be found. Mark Stile has the story.
The first case of the virus turned up in late February in Pope County. After that initial outbreak, all was quiet for nearly a month. Then late last week, state officials announced turkey flocks in Lacqui-Parle and Stearns County were infected. The random spread of the disease has individual turkey producers wondering if they could be the next to absorb the financial losses of a flu outbreak in their flocks. Steve Olson, executive director of the Minnesota Turkey Growers Association, says one farmer told him he was on pins and needles.
There's a nervousness out there because it does seem like it's getting in barns, even though there's strict biosecurity.
Olson says farmers are stepping up efforts to keep the virus out, taking new actions like washing truck tires before the vehicle enters a farm. The ramped-up efforts are part of increased concerns brought on by the most recent cases, especially the Stearns County outbreak. State veterinarian Bill Hartman says unlike the Pope or Lacqui-Parle County infections, there are other commercial turkey flocks near the Stearns County farm. Farms within 6 miles of the infection site will be tested for the virus. Hartman says in part to guard against the spread of the disease to those nearby operations, the state has raised its response level. It set up something that's often used in fighting forest fires, what's called an incident command team. Hartman says they'll handle the details of the Stearns County cleanup and investigation.
They direct the activities of our field force who are actually going out and visiting these poultry operations.
Any workers having contact with the infected flocks will also be monitored for the illness, although Hartman says the risk of transmission to humans is low. While they deal with the infected sites, Hartman says his agency is also trying to determine how the virus got into Minnesota. It's part of an outbreak that has touched about a half dozen other U.S. states. The basic theory is that wild waterfowl brought the virus into Minnesota, but so far there's no hard proof of that. Hartman says the only testing of nearby wild ducks came after the first outbreak in Pope County.
They did not find any evidence of this virus in the resident ducks there.
Establishing the path of the virus is much more difficult now since the spring migration is underway and thousands of waterfowl are moving through the state. The DNR did the testing in Pope County, but agency officials say they haven't decided yet if more testing of wild ducks will be done in connection with last week's outbreaks of avian flu. Finding just how the virus got into the Minnesota turkey barns is a difficult task. In fact, state veterinarian Hartman says investigations have been done in the past on other avian influenza viruses without success.
We never have found a particular source of the infection.
The stakes are higher, though, this time. Those past investigations concern viruses that typically did not kill turkeys. The current virus is so virulent that thousands of birds can die in a few days. Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio News, Worthington.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.